Five, four, three, two, one, fire!
You are listening to StMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
Hello, podcast listeners. Long time no podcast. Sorry about that, but I've been out doing something very time-consuming called house hunting. For those of you who are too young to have to deal with buying a home, be thankful to God. Be very, very thankful. For those of you who have actually been through this ordeal, you know the pain that it can be. In general, when it comes to writing, blogging, or podcasting, you tend to pontificate on those things that you know about, or at least those things you're dealing with in your own life. So I decided to talk today a bit about house hunting. Now, I know there are those of you who are wondering what my topic could have to do with Catholic youth ministry, but I assure you, it's all one big gig of life that must be bundled together, the good with the bad, and sometimes the ugly, as it were. Here's the deal. When you house hunt, contrary to the title of the action, you are not just looking for a house. In reality, you're looking for a home. The things you're taking into consideration deal very directly with the church and her teaching, as do all the things in life if you let the gospel message permeate all you do. Which it's supposed to do. Hence, the Word of God will change you and your life and not return to Him void. Some of the process of house hunting is very boring and deals with the minutiae of searching and finding a house. However, much of it deals with making a decision about the next 3 to 10 years of your life. Allow me to peel away some of the veneer of the outward process and expose the termites within which can eat away at your spiritual structure. Since buying a home tends to be a very personal choice, you can find all kinds of ways to indulge the ego in making your choice. Anytime you allow your ego, or yourself, to become the center of your thought, you're straying away from God's commandment to have no other false gods before Him. It's easier to do than you think. For instance, if you want an expensive house which will impoverish your family, that would be bad. If you fall for prestige and honor and the glory of men, that would be bad too. If you pick a house which is great for your hobby of, say, golfing because it's next to the local country club, and ignore that it is in a terrible school district where your children would possibly be affected for life by a poor education, then you've allowed your will to trump God's will for your family. Again, not good. One of the first things you will be forced to do is find a price range for your new home. Now, if you're a church worker like myself, you're immediately faced with the temptation to start looking for work in the secular field, as most homes which are affordable on a youth minister's budget are going to be substandard, in the wrong neighborhood, or just plain too expensive. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, and again in verses 24 through 34, not to worry about money, and to have dependence on God, and not on the things of this world. Jesus himself was, after all, homeless most of his life. If you'll accept the premise that he was born in a borrowed stable and buried in a borrowed grave. He also said of himself that birds have their nests and foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's Matthew 8, verse 20, or Luke 9, verse 58. But he also gave us great news about the afterlife and the kind of housing we can expect there. In John 14, verse 12, he says, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Some translations say, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Think about that word, mansions. Still, back to the world for just a moment. As part of my first vocation as a husband and a father, I'm charged with providing acceptable housing for my lovely wife Dana and our 6 children. So where's the balance between this world and the next? Who can I ask for help? Well, here it is. It's kind of hidden if you don't look closely. In Luke 2, verse 4, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David." And again in Matthew 2, verse 13, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Yes, that's right. In both these situations, we see Saint Joseph was leading the Holy Family of Mary and Jesus. He was the man God put in charge of taking care of the two most important human beings ever. So there's an ample reason to ask Saint Joseph's assistance in finding a home. Just how do I purchase a home that will please God and be sufficient for my family? I asked the assistant of Saint Joseph to help me please God, because he had to do the same thing. This is the joy of the family of God, which we as Catholics call the communion of saints. Now, I've seen some great devotions to Saint Joseph and his pull with God's providence. There is an excellent story about a bunch of nuns who asked Saint Joseph to provide supplies for their assisted living old age home. Apparently, they had an elderly gentleman who enjoyed a beer every night before bed. The nuns were out of money and had to start cutting some of these accoutrements. They had a statue of Saint Joseph they would use as a focal point for their prayers. Again, praying for Saint Joseph's intercession, not praying to the statue for any magic powers it had, since it was just a statue and did not have power. When they needed something, they would ask Saint Joseph and put some little reminder in front of his statue until the request was granted. Since they needed beer, they put an empty beer can in front of the statue. Now, an unsuspecting priest dropped by the chapel one day to say Mass for the community and the elderly patients. When he arrived, he saw the empty can of beer in front of the statue and reasonably assumed that someone was sinfully drinking alcohol in the church and leaving their garbage around the chapel. He scooped up the can and went to toss it in the trash. One of the sisters saw him and stopped him, explaining the situation and the memento of the intercession. The priest was fairly scandalized and came close to calling the incident one of idolatry to a statue and an insult to Saint Joseph, who was too important to be bothered by some elderly man's need for a cold one before bed. The priest was still running through the whole thing in his mind after Mass when he left the convent and caught the local subway back to his home. On the way back, at one stop, a rather wealthy man and what looked like his chauffeur boarded the train. Along the way, they started up a conversation, and the rich man explained that his Rolls Royce had broken down, which it never did, and he and his driver were forced to take the unusual route of riding a subway back to his home. The wealthy man was a Catholic and noticed the look of perplexity on the priest's face. When he asked what the problem was bothering the man of the cloth, the priest confided in him about what the sisters had done and how it bordered on scandalous for him as a priest. Yet he didn't want to squelch such simple faith as the nuns were showing by placing the can before the statue. The rich man began to laugh and explained that he was the owner of the local brewery and that he had never taken the subway. His chauffeur confirmed that his car never broke down, but that day it was very stubbornly dead on its wheels. Exasperated in all their attempts to start the car, they had decided to take the train home and consequently met the priest and heard his tale of the nuns and their faith. He told the priest that he would personally see to it that the nuns and their elderly patrons would have all the beer they needed and a lifetime supply of it at that, just because he could see God's hand in the whole thing. My guess is that when they got back to it, the car probably started up right away, although I can't vouch for that part of the story. Anyway, back to Saint Joseph. He's obviously a powerful friend when it comes to providing whatever God wants for you to have. In the two Bible passages I quoted, he was in charge of finding housing for Mary and Jesus, so it makes sense to ask his help. Obviously, when they were fleeing into Egypt, he had to find a place for them to live. And I'm sure that while Mary was very pregnant with Jesus and riding on a donkey, chances are she wasn't the one knocking on the door at the inn in Bethlehem. I've often heard about people who bury a St. Joseph statue in their yard to help sell their house. I also have heard of nuns and brothers burying St. Joseph statues in the yard of a property they hope to purchase, sometimes at a low price, and having the owner come down off that price enough for them to be able to buy it. There are even kits you can purchase off Catholic sites on the internet to do this. There's usually a little plastic statue of St. Joseph and a booklet with all the instructions on what to do. Now, I want to be real careful because some of this could easily get into the sin of idolatry. If a person started thinking that the statue was the power or had the power to do things like that, it would be very wrong. Just remember that the statue is a reminder to yourself that you have asked the intercession of the real St. Joseph, who is in heaven with God. According to the Church, St. Joseph is very high up the ladder of intercessors, too. He is second only to Mary, the Mother of God, and of course to Jesus, the one and only mediator between God and man. Anyway, I'm going to be asking St. Joseph's intercession for the house and a home that God wants me to have. I'd love for you to join with me spiritually in asking for his help. So, please, keep us in your prayers. Or better yet, join me now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Joseph, I need a home with a good bit of land, since I have 6 children. I need 4 bedrooms or more and a quiet little place where my wife can go occasionally and freak out since we have 6 children. We'd like to be near my parents, who are their grandparents, and grandparents to my 6 children. We need something with a good school system because we have 6 children, and not too far from my new job as a youth minister at the local Catholic church, so I can get home and back for lunch with our 6 children. And we need it all fairly inexpensive, too, because we have 6 children. I'd love to find something where I can have a little studio to create my music and record these podcasts in the middle of the night, since that's where I most often have time, because if I didn't mention it, I have 6 children. This guy.